Exchange Podcast 9 Q&A today. Q&A.
Some more business related Q&A. First question from Ryan. What's your opinion on getting reviews from your customers?
I think it's great. I love it. Good review or bad review, I don't mind it. Good review is promotion, advertising. Bad review, I know what to work on, and if there's any correction needed, I know. And that's just the way your customers will respond if you're doing bad business, if it's a bad review.
What do you think about like restaurants and more like...
Oh, you mean fake reviews?
No. I don't know what he means, but I'm just asking you, like, what do you think about that? Because, I mean, like, the reviews I see on, say, TFS, they're largely positive, and I think that's a different kind of business and service, you know, than a restaurant, typically. But when you go to, like, you know, these restaurant review sites or other review sites, people are just, like, ridiculous. Even, like, on Amazon sometimes, you know? And, like, I know these are different than, like, a B2B or kind of, like, a service business. Yeah. But don't you think that, like, reviews can get out of hand just by people who don't really know what the
for
hell they're talking about?
For reviews I look at, and here's the thing, like, the food ones for sure. I go to the food ones, then I click on the person's name, right, who they are, and I usually go to see what type of reviews that they write. And most of them are negative, and so I'll just bypass them. Now, if somebody is negative and I go to the next one, they get, like, 3 or 4, 5 positive ones, like, okay, you know what? Fair enough. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is I start following certain people because I like the taste of their food. And every restaurant they have said or the ones I like, they have reviewed. I'm like, okay, this person is on the same taste bud as me. And I want to see what else they have to say about a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And if they say it's a good place, and I'll go. If they say it's a bad place, well, technically, if I think that they say it's a bad place and I agree with them, you know, most of the stuff they said, I think I'll have a good understanding that that place isn't something for me.
Have you or your business ever gotten a bad review online?
No, I don't think online. I don't think I've ever seen it online.
Or what about in general? Business.
Okay, yeah, I got calls. Yeah. I definitely got calls because they didn't like something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we work on it and figure out where I went wrong and, you know, make sure I don't correct it. Mm-hmm. You know, make sure I correct it and don't make that mistake again.
Mm-hmm. Next question from Samesh. What is the stupidest thing you have ever done with your money? If you've ever done a stupid thing with your money.
I've done plenty of bad loans.
Let's say personal expenditure wise.
No, that's a very hard one for me.
I know.
Have I bought dumb stuff? Yeah, I have.
What's the dumbest thing you bought?
Man,
we're talking like something that when you bought it, you're like, fuck,
like, I go to the dollar store or something like that, or I'm in the lineup and I buy like something crap. Yeah, but that's it's all like pennies, like it's like $20 or, you know, less than that. But like a big purchase, that, man, dude, I can't even think of any.
What about, like, so on the macro level, then, loans, you said? Just that would probably be the first thing that comes to mind?
Yeah, I've done bad loans because just kind of trusted somebody, or we did something for them before and it worked out well, and this one hasn't. Yeah, I can't even think of one right now for some reason.
All right.
Not loan, but, like, you know.
Normal.
Stupid things. There's things I look at now that I bought back then that... You know what? I really didn't need that, but at that moment I needed it because of, you know, whatever we were doing. Tools. I bought a lot of dumb tools, I think.
Okay.
A lot of, not camera equipment, but like back in like mechanic days where I assumed I need these tools and I really didn't.
Next question from Antoine. I would like to know your opinion on business cards. What's your biggest hassles with them?
Antoine, actually, funny thing is I stopped carrying business cards for the past 3-4 years. I don't know why. I just don't carry it. Before every meeting I go to, or I make sure there's like 5 or 6 in my wallet. Now I don't even think I have one in my wallet. I don't remember the last time I even printed a business card. I have plenty of them, but I want to get into somebody's phone and on their email and on their Instagram page and LinkedIn and everything else. And I just think, you know, when somebody gives me a business card, I just kind of look at it and it doesn't even make it to my desk. Even if it does, it just goes into garbage. Just communication today is done mostly through social media, and I like it because it's more active. I can see what's going on. I'm following them. I can see what's going on. If I need to respond, I can respond. If I need to comment, I can comment. On a business card, is very, very hard for me to do. And all the every single contact information that I need, I can actually find on social media.
Do you think they still serve a purpose in some way?
For certain, some people, yeah, but not for me.
Yeah.
Right. And someone's gonna say, "Well, how about if my, phone dies or something?" You know, there's gonna be some, obviously something like that that's gonna happen. But, then I'll probably take a card. But usually not.
Do you keep business cards that are given to you?
No.
What do you do with them?
There's a plastic bag there that's going to be going into the dump. And that was like maybe 2 years ago. And it's still sitting in that plastic bag. Right. Before it was great.
You never resorted back to them?
No. Yeah. I took cards before. Like, now I'm going back like 7 years ago. We're in a meeting. I'll take my phone out. I'll take a screenshot. Not even a screenshot. I'll have an app running. And I'll go take the card information, put it in, and I forget what that app was called, and then I'll connect with LinkedIn, and then I'll just add them right there. But that app is no longer available, and I thought that was good. And besides, then I'll take the credit, not the credit card, the business card, and give it back to them, or dispose of it.
From Nelvin, what are the small things that you do on a daily basis that made you successful?
Connecting with my clients. Still, even though there's no business, just phone them up and say, "Hey, how's it going? If there's any way I can help," have a chat with them, either email, social media, or phone calls. It's what I do all day long. I've done the same thing from day one, from the last 15 to 18 years, and I keep doing that today. Every time I come to the office, it's a couple of phone calls, a couple of emails, text messaging. How's everything going? Could I help? Could I assist? And usually through a couple of those calls, I get a deal.
So you think one of the most integral aspects to your continued success
is communication,
is the relationship you build with your clients?
Yeah, relationship and communication with them.
Mm-hmm. And that's for longevity.
For me, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for everyone. I think everyone's just in it for, what's the point of calling them if I can't get a deal? I just don't look at it that way. I look at it as, give them a call, touch base with them, see how things are going, and typically it leads. And I don't even bring up, "Hey, look, you have any deals?" It just comes up. It's like, "Hey, can I run something by you?" Sure, go ahead.
Yeah. Right. From Andrew, what's the biggest lesson you've gotten from outside of business?
And treat everyone like it's your parents, it's your siblings. Like, well, I say that in a positive way. that can mean something totally else. Respect everyone, treat everyone the way you want to be treated. And be authentic is another one. And just try to add value.
Where did you get those lessons from?
I don't know. I think just over time and just the people I surrounded myself with. I think when you surround yourself with good people, you start learning a lot from them. I think most of my life I've been surrounded by great people.
How do you know if you're surrounded by good people? Like, how do you know if the people around you are good or bad?
Now or before?
All the time.
All the time. Before, somebody's getting arrested, they're bad people. they're doing some stupid things that I don't agree with. They're going out and they're smoking and drinking and doing drugs and, vandalizing, things like that. That's not good people, right? If someone's there, they're studying, they're working, they're helping, opening doors for people and adding to society, not fucking it up.
I only ask because I know people are in relationships or they have friend groups that they're unsure about, or maybe, they're looking at their own life right now and thinking, am I surrounded by positivity or by people that uplift me? And I think maybe people don't know if they're willing, are these friends that I should be, leaving behind and moving forward?
I look at it this way. Are my friends complaining? Right? Or are they actually doing something to get to the next level? And if they're complaining, I'm in the wrong group. And if they're actually, they're complaining, if they complain in the beginning, like, "Okay, I got a problem, but now these are the steps I need to take," and they're working on those steps to get ahead, I think, you're around a good group then.
Another one from Andrew. What's the last shiny opportunity you let pass by in order to stay focused on your number one priority?
maybe every 6 to 8 weeks I get some type of offer on joining somebody's company, taking 40-50% share, and being a partner there many times. And some of these companies have been established for a long time, but I just, it's not me. Just not me. Or even that, actually, sorry, that's a little more me than somebody saying, hey, look, you know what, why don't you just kind of join a team and run the team? And I just can't do that. It's not me.
What are the difference between those two things?
One is ownership, and one is not.
But you're still running a team in ownership.
I'm still, no, I don't look at it that way.
No?
No, because on the team, what happens is, and I've been in multiple teams before, my focus, I always look at things totally different than most people do in business. Most people in business look at the numbers. I don't look at the numbers. I look at the numbers later on. I look at how I can grow this business. How to put all the money back into the company in order to make it grow, rather than taking a big salary. And I've been in businesses where they wanted to take big salaries, or they didn't focus on advertising. They didn't think a brand and advertising was important. They think referral, which is good, but I don't think you can scale a business through just 10-12 referral partners, versus running Facebook and Instagram ads. And I think a lot of the times when I got involved with other business owners and partners were they didn't look at social media the way I did, or any technology like that.
Right.
And I think that's a big fault on their side. And I think those businesses have not taken off because of lack of looking at technology and investing in it.
So in terms of the opportunities you let pass, you think, like, what was there more money on the table? Was it just that the fact that, these are big companies, it's good for a quote-unquote resume? Is it more stable? Like, what would be the intrigue for you in taking a position like
no
that?
No idea. I just kind of turned those down. I just don't even think about it.
Yeah.
It was just on the table. I know what drives me, so it just wasn't for me.
But are these more lucrative than what you're doing now?
Would not know. Would not know. No, I never dig that.
So the question is, like, the last shiny opportunity, right? So is there anything that, like, you've left cash on the table in order to just keep doing what you're doing? Or maybe you didn't invest here in order
There's a lot of investments. Like, look, a lot of these things we're buying right now and investments I have in salaries and everything else. Yeah, I can go out and buy Amazon stocks or Facebook stocks and kill that in the short term period. But I think the long term period, money deployed in it, what we're doing right now is going to be much better for me in the future. So yeah, I think that's the one for the last 2 years, I would say.
Right. Gotcha.
To me.
From Justin, when do you plan on dying?
When I die. Plan, I'm dying. Justin, love that, man. 100. I want to hit 100.
Straight, no more, no less.
No, I think by 100, I'll be like done. I want to check out by then.
Yeah.
It depends on kids and grandkids, if I can stand them or not.
Might not make it to 100 knowing your kids.
Take me out. Please.
You want to live long.
I want to live long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got too much to give.
Yeah.
I'm starting, man. I'm just starting. I'm learning so much. I just...
How old are you at? 42? 40?
43.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, 43.
43, yeah.
Once you get to a certain age, man, those numbers don't even really double. I got to go to the year I'm born and then work backwards. Like, oh, yeah, I'm 43.
Yeah. It's crazy when you think about that, like, when you'll be 86. Like, everything you lived from the time you were born up until now, you're doing that all over again.
Yeah.
Plus more, potentially.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, when you say and here's you're my just thing. Starting.
The first 20 years was learning. First 18 years was... First 5 years was one thing, right? And then from the 5 to, like, I would say 15 was another thing. And then from that to, like, 18 was another thing. And then you in the work, you're in work, you're in business mode. Now you're learning.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned a lot. Now it's just like, this is a growth stage now. A crazy growth stage, and I just got to keep healthy.
What's one thing, let's say you live to 100, so that's 57 years, mm-hmm. 2020 plus 57 is, say, 2077.
Mm-hmm. 76, 2076 for me.
Yeah, 76. So it's 2077. So say 50-some years. What would be one thing, if you were still alive then, and you looked out in any facet, whether it's technological, whether it's in your own life, let's not even include your life, what would you like to see in the world at that time? You're on your deathbed, you're looking out, and you're like, I'm glad I got to see this.
Drones flying with people in it. Seriously, man, flying cars.
And not, okay.
Yeah, just
like,
I want to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She looks.
Because of Jetsons.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
that'd yeah be, I want to see that. Yeah, from that, that's the first thing that comes into my head.
All right. This says from Manny. Last question. What's your fourth quarter strategy this year?
To focus on the first quarter of the next year. For me, it's the same thing. I continue doing the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. And there's no strategy for fourth quarter. It's just straight up.
I'm going to take working in like the, like, I know it's fourth quarter in a business sense, but to bring in the little sports mentality, you know, it's fourth quarter, yeah, right? Like fourth quarter, you know, fourth and long.
I look at my goals. I go back to the first quarter and see what goals I set and go after that. And I'm looking at fourth quarter for business or fourth quarter for what I personally, doesn't matter for everything. Yeah, I'll just go back and look at what I've focused on and what my goals were for that first quarter and see if I matched it. Mm-hmm. And if not, just, you know, pedal to the metal and go for it. And even if I did, pedal to the metal and go for it, right? For us, the fourth quarter is quite busy until we get into... fourth quarter for us is really busy from September till December. Just the last 2 weeks of December slows right down because everyone's on holidays. But, mm-hmm. It's pedal to the metal then. And it's easy to do in Vancouver because it's just gray and raining and ugly and there's no excitement. It's the third quarter that's the hardest.
Yeah.
Right? The second and third. Now we're getting into the hard time because just nobody's around. We just got back from Canada Day long weekend and July 4th is tomorrow. It's dead. Kids are off of school and holidays, and I think a lot of parents are away, and like nothing's happening. It's pretty damn slow.
Mm-hmm.
Lawyers are dealing with, you know, there's nobody's picking up the phone because they're on holidays.
So for you, do you find that like that last quarter, that fourth quarter, you're kind of you're pushing hard
for
a little bit?
For TFS is busy time.
Yeah,
it's busy time, so we're pushing hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That's all I got.
All right, till next time, guys.